huge opening weekend at the box office for Thor Ragnarok. I saw it on Saturday. I was blown away by how awesome this was. A phenomenal movie. Actually, that's the fourth best opening weekend at the box office in 2017 at $121 million for Thor Ragnarok. You should check that out.
I'd like to.
You know who knows more about this than you and I?
Who's that?
Our Hollywood guru, Al Harris, who just happens to be on the line right now. Al, how are you, my friend?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
So far, so good. Maybe not as good as Christopher Hemsworth. I mean, you know, he's got to be rolling in the dough right now after that.
Who calls him Christopher Hemsworth?
I don't know. That's his God-given handle, isn't it?
It is, but everyone calls him Chris, right?
You know, Bull likes to lengthen the name sometimes.
Sure.
Give him his good Christian name, but...
Right.
It threw me there for a little while. I thought Christopher, and then it dawned on me, oh, that's the long form of Chris, obviously.
How did we stumble onto this? So we were getting ready to ask Al Harris about Thor at the box office this weekend. Have you had the chance to watch this movie yet?
I have.
Awesome. I see. Here's my thing. I don't want to give away any information for those that haven't seen it yet. It was really cool, I thought, but what surprised me was how hilarious it was.
Well, it really was, you know, a lot of these other ones, like Guardians of the Galaxy started, like, kind of pushing Marvel into that, making it a little more humorous, a little more fun than, like, because the original Thors were kind of, like, dour, boring, and, you know, the original Avengers had some moments, but it was still, like, you know, not as funny as, like, people wanted to be, and especially with, you know, the way the DC universe is, where it's very dour, not very funny at all. Like, none of the Batman movies are very dark, and so a lot of superhero movies are kind of going in that direction, and it's good to see, you know, like I said, with Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel started moving a little, making it fun for everyone, and, Spider-Man Homecoming like was part of that as well. And Thor Ragnarok just seems like the topper there, because to me this wasn't an action movie. This wasn't like your normal Marvel movie. This was a comedy with some action in it. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy was an action movie with comedy. This is the opposite. And it was a blast. It's one of the few times this year where I really just enjoyed being in the theater watching it. Everyone seemed like they were having a good time, like, acting in it, which has been, like, Chris Hemsworth as Thor. Most of the times, very seems like he's kind of just going through the motions and not having a good time. And in this one, seemed like everyone was just having fun. Taika Waititi, who directed it, who's a New Zealand director, who's done a few comedies before this, who has been one of my favorites. I was a little concerned that they weren't going to let him make his movie, and they 100% did. This is, like all of his other movies, the same kind of deadpan humor, and it was just a lot of fun.
What were your thoughts on Jeff Goldblum? I loved his character in this movie.
Oh, Goldblum was great, and Goldblum fit perfectly well in this universe, because he's over the top, just chewing scenery, and it worked totally well in this movie. Him, the rock monster that was actually acted by the director. All of the characters were so over the top, and just like, even Cate Blanchett, who I thought was fantastic, just kind of let, I haven't seen her in that type of role before, where she just is chomping scenery, just being this horrible villain and doing a great job at it. But yeah, Goldblum was Goldblum and knocked it out of the park.
Goldblum was, dare I say, gold. Ah, see what I did there? Sometimes those are just way too easy.
You know what? I let that one go. I was like, I'm not taking this one. I'll let Bull take that, because you like taking the easy ones.
We're talking with our Hollywood guru, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Boy, I thought the casting of Woody Harrelson as LBJ was pretty interesting. Says a lot about Woody, though, does it not? He can play roles of LBJ and Larry Flint. He's all over the map. But I didn't get the chance to watch LBJ just yet. Were you surprised at the casting of Woody Harrelson as LBJ in this movie?
No, because at this point, I'm a big Woody fan. At this point, no wrong. He can do it all, whether it's, you know, a stoner, you know, a detective, anything, he can really hit it out. I thought I actually was kind of intrigued by the casting. From all I've heard, is it's not a very good movie, and his performance is kind of lackluster. But I think that has more to do with the direction and just like the feel of the movie. When, from what I've heard, it's just like a paint by numbers biopic and kind of glosses over, because OBJ, from everything I've read and heard, wasn't a great person, and I think we kind of gloss over all that in the movie. So I wasn't surprised at all that he got cast in it, but like I said, what I heard just wasn't very good on the movie in general.
Sure. Despite the movie or not, though, it seems like Woody Harrelson's really sort of made a comeback here in recent years, maybe starting with True Detective. Everything sort of started coming out. Well, I think Zombieland was even before that. But nonetheless, it really seems like he's become the flavor of the last 4 or 5 years here recently.
I guess I wouldn't really call it a comeback. So I don't think he ever really went away. He did a lot of like really good indie films before that that were fantastic. I don't think he ever really went away. He just maybe didn't act as much. But yeah, he's been kind of like going to kind of putting in like, because of his age, you know, he was in 17 again playing the teacher. So he's got like, he can hit, do these roles, like these, you know, normal, what's the word I'm looking for? These normal characters, but like adding a little bit of Woody Harrelson to it that makes it feel new and fresh, which I think is good, especially considering his age and what he's doing now.
I'm not sure you can ever top the movie that he was in where he played the role of a hotshot bowler in high school, ended up losing his hand, and then ended up mentoring Randy Quaid along the way, and he
That's
ran into
point.
Bigger and McCracken, Kingpin. Yeah. What an awesome movie.
Great. I forgot where it was, but I read an article that ranked all of Woody Harrelson's performances, and of all of them, Kingpin was second. I was
really?
Shocked. I totally agree, but I was shocked by that.
What was number one? Larry Flynn?
Larry Flynn.
Yeah.
Roy Munson. He's what you call a real Munson. Did I just say up a creek without a paddle of Munson? Wait till I tell the guys. Bigger and McCracken is arguably the best sports villain of all time. I mean, I think that's a debate for a different day.
That's a good cast.
And I kind of agree with that, but yes.
Did you hear this news on Disney's crazy demands on The Last Jedi, which is probably expected to be... I have a hard time believing that won't be the best opening weekend of any movie this year. And, of course, it comes out mid-December. But I'm not sure if you heard this or not. This the news, Disney's making these wild demands on The Last Jedi. Wall Street Journal saying that Disney was requiring every theater to hand over 65% of their sales to the studio. They're asking them to use the largest auditoriums for this movie for 4 weeks. And they're charging them 5% more if the contract is broken. Had you heard anything about this, and does any of that surprise you at all?
I heard a little bit. I read that article you sent me. To me, it sounds pretty in line with the way, like, Tarantino did this a couple years ago with his movie where, like, are there some issues with his movie and Star Wars the same weekend, Star Wars buying out the theaters that Tarantino wanted to premiere at. It was more of like an L.A. thing than a national thing, but it doesn't surprise me. The way they've been running business has been a little weird, to say the least. They kind of really try to take over. They've been, you know, firing directors that don't follow their vision. They're really, you know, they're in it to make money. And the theaters have no other reason. Like, they can't say they can't do it, you know? It's Star Wars.
Sure.
So, to me, I mean, someone's got, it's crazy, but they're going to get away with it. They're going to make a ton of money. And, like, I will be unbelievably surprised if Star Wars isn't the top box office for the entire year this year.
Sure, I understand. We had, I know drive-ins around here were upset with Guardians of the Galaxy when it came out because of what Disney was asking, essentially, and they were trying to put up a little bit of a standing up and saying we're not going to air it until weeks later. But nonetheless, I mean, anything really Disney that comes out of Disney's studios, I mean, it all seems to turn to gold, so it seems like one way or another you're going to make money. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but even if you have to pay them this big a price, it seems like a pretty good move, at least my thoughts.
Yeah, it's I mean,
I can't think
about,
of a Disney flop.
What?
I can't think of a Disney flop. I mean, is there one out there?
A flop?
Yeah, that's been produced by Disney and hasn't made any success.
There have been in the past. They've been pretty much on a winning streak lately with Marvel, with, Star Wars and everything else. Mm-hmm. And they can dictate the market right now, you know?
Sure.
So they're going to keep doing it, and they'll have a flop coming up. I don't doubt, but until then, you know, people are just going to fold and let them do their thing.
Sure.
Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We often ask you about Netflix series that really kind of seem to stand out. We had talked about Mindhunters a couple of weeks ago. I got into that last week, and I was really intrigued by that. We haven't really gone down the road of the Amazon video series, and it seems like there are a few on there that are worth noting that are Amazon exclusives. Do you have any Amazon exclusive that you seem to be glued to or you think are really kind of can't miss? As I was looking through there the other day, and I was awfully intrigued by a few, but I wasn't sure if you had any Amazon exclusive that you thought really stood out.
Well, there are a couple, and I think there are a couple coming out, but like the big ones, like I'm not going to waste a lot of time because everyone talks about Transparent. I think Transparent's great. I think it's gotten a little, the last couple seasons have been kind of not great, but the first two are very good. And it was important because it was the first, you know, show to really tackle the trans issue and people transitioning into, you know, gender reassignment. But then there's also a show, Goliath, Billy Bob Thornton, that I've heard good things. I haven't yet to see it. But honestly, my two favorite are a show called Red Oaks, which is like a throwback to like 80s comedies. It basically takes place at a golf or a country club where this young kid is a tennis pro. It's got Paul Reiser in it, a few other, Jennifer Grey, a few other people from the 80s. And it really is kind of a parody on 80s coming of age movies. There's even like an episode where the main character swaps identities with his father. It feels very much like Karate Kid, Caddyshack, like kind of that vibe. It's a lot of fun. Steven Soderbergh exec produces it, and it's not as overly funny as some of those movies, but it's very well done. It just premiered its third and final season like last week. And then the other one is a show called Sneaky Pete that I thoroughly enjoyed, which was created by, I think, Bryan Cranston actually came up with the idea, and he's in it along with Giovanni Ribisi and a few other great character actors. And it's basically a TV show about a long con and these con men. And it's a lot of fun and very, very well done.
I put that one in my queue, Sneaky Pete. It's a very interesting story, and I'm looking forward to watching that one. I watched the first episode in season 3 of Red Oaks, and to be fair, I only watched a half of the episode because I got distracted and pulled into something else, but I saw Paul Reiser was in it. He was in prison, and I thought part of that was kind of funny. You're right. I did get some nostalgia in there throwing it back to the 80s, so I was awfully intrigued. I was just curious when I was looking through that last night, and I thought, you know, Amazon videos are really kind of underrated because so many people have Prime, but they do that for shopping purposes, and they don't realize that they've got these video advantages as well. It's just odd how that's hidden, and so many people don't take advantage of that.
For sure. And there's also Mozart in the Jungle, which I had never seen, but that also gets really good reviews. There's a lot of things going on. Yeah, because if you're a Prime member, I think it's like a one-year price, so you get the free shipping. But yeah, you also get all of the on-demand TV shows, and they also have movies. They're also producing a lot more movies, too, that you get first run. So it's actually not a bad service as well, especially since you're already paying for the free shipping.
Right. It only makes sense for you to go that direction. If you have it, you might as well activate it. So, I mean, I was always intrigued by that because it seems like what they produce is pretty good stuff, but a lot of people don't realize that they have access to it, which is odd. You would think that if you got involved with something like that, you would understand what you have. All right, my man, before we cut you loose, we need your picks to click for this week.
Well, this week's really rough, man. Like, it's weird because this month there's a lot of good stuff coming out. This week just really isn't a good week. So my pick to click is an ode to you, Bull. Tomorrow night, ESPN 30 for 30.
Yes! Yes!
The Ric Flair documentary is coming out. and it looks fun. I'm excited. A 30 for 30. They don't do a lot of wrestling documentaries, which is crazy to me because it's such a fertile territory and the characters are so like insane and one in a million. And so a 30 for 30 on the Nature Boy Ric Flair, I think will be a very good one.
Yes, I could not agree more. If you're going to do a 30 for 30 on wrestling, you do it on a limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, son of a gun. The dirtiest player in the game, the 16-time heavyweight champion of the world. I can't wait, man. Tomorrow it's coming out, and it should be absolutely fantastic. I love that that's your pick to click for this week. That's outstanding stuff. That's why we bring you on every week, man. It's gold. It's pure gold.
I love it. All right, well, I'll talk to you guys next week.
Al, thank you. All righty, Al Harris, our Hollywood insider.